You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Testudo, my friends, and welcome to the Tax Day edition of Pure Opelka. Much to talk about today on this day when we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And it's also the day Stormy Daniels and her attorney appeared on The View, the cackle fest, The View, and showed us a sketch of what she claims to be the man who threatened her. Who threatened her, saying it'd be a shame if something happened to the mother of that beautiful baby. I don't know if I'm buying it. It's kind of bizarre to look at this sketch. And then if you Google it, if you look at my Twitter account, you'll see what happens when you do a search of that sketch with Google Image. It comes up with a bunch of similar images, one of which included a sketch of Winston Churchill. And I don't think he was around when Stormy alleges she was threatened, but we'll get into that. We're also going to talk about the Sean Hannity situation with my pal Angie Austin. Angie and I host a morning show on about 20 radio stations around the country. We'll replay the discussion we had about the Sean Hannity situation and Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen. But I first have to get into the latest dumbest thing I've heard in the political world in quite some time. What is it? I'm talking about Washington, D.C. and the proposal to allow 16-year-olds and, of course, 17-year-olds the right to vote in federal and local elections. Yeah. Washington, D.C. has a move afoot from a council member, Charles Allen, a Democrat, of course, who said he was inspired by the high schoolers that came to D.C. to protest in the March for Our Lives. He was so inspired that he has put forth a proposal to lower the voting age to 16. Are you kidding me? You're going to give the right to vote to people who aren't legally allowed to, I don't know, own a gun, own a home, drink, serve in the military? It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So Washington, D.C., you get the award of the dumbest thing of the day. Now, I was around as a young man when Congress passed the 26th Amendment and gave people 18 and older the right to vote. But that was a reaction to the Vietnam War. And kids were saying, look, if we're old enough to go and fight and die for our country, we're also old enough to vote for the people who are making the laws and making us go fight and die for our country because they were drafted. You see, it wasn't an all-voluntary military like we have today. But 16 years old? 16 years old. What do you think? Let's make it a vital question of the day. Do you think it's a smart idea to lower the voting age to 16? Yes or no? You can go into the vital question poll on Twitter at StuntBrain and vote there. I just can't believe this has to be the dumbest thing of the week. And luckily, I don't think anyone's taking it seriously. That Washington, D.C. story about lowering the voting age to 16 is so insane. I'm just going to stay in the insane area and talk about a case that took 18 days to handle, and it really could have been over in about an hour or less. It's a case out of Australia where a guy was suing his boss for $1.8 million. He was demanding $1.8 million from his boss, claiming that he was being bullied at the office. He was being bullied by a supervisor who allegedly, repeatedly came over, lifted one of his butt cheeks, and farted on him. The farting boss, known as Mr. Stinky among the workers at this office, he was, it's just insane, right? It's the craziest story ever. This guy was on trial, and they brought in a parade of witnesses. It took 18 days. You wonder why you've got problems making a budget in Australia. 18 days to hear a case about a worker claiming that farting is bullying. By the way, the judge threw the case out. They have declared that intentionally farting on someone in the workplace is not bullying. But it is crazy. Crazy that it actually took 18 days. And continuing on the crazy train, I have another story that actually has roots in Washington, D.C. and New York City and would affect the entire country if it was allowed to go through. A story about the head of the teachers union who was overheard on the Acela train plotting, yes, plotting to shut down the schools in Puerto Rico in order to embarrass the administration. This Randy Weingarten of the United Federation of Teachers was overheard while she was talking on a cell phone in the first class car of the Acela train that goes between Washington, D.C. and New York City, was overheard plotting this scheme. The scheme involved getting teachers all across the island to call in sick on the same day. And this was a protest because the government of Puerto Rico has decided it needs to shut down 238 schools after the population of the island diminished so greatly following last year's hurricane. So all these families left. School enrollment is down 38,700 students. They're not going to be able to keep all of those schools open. So these teachers are mad. And instead of saying, well, why don't we do like the people who had to leave Puerto Rico, go to other places, for example, Florida, and get other jobs? No, they want the schools to stay open, and they're using these kids. In the words of Randy Weingarten, she said, "We are a human shield for the kids. Teachers are doing this instead of the parents and kids. Never use the word strike." This was overheard on the train, and I'll tell you, it's real easy to hear people's cell phone conversations on the train. So, Randy Weingarten, from your first class seat with all the drinks you can handle and the free meal that's paid for by your union members, I hope you are exposed for the weasel you are. You're supposed to be doing it for the kids, not for political reasons. I'm going to stay on the crazy storyline, but this story started out looking like it was one that was going to get me really angry, but it turns out to be a crazy story with a really good idea behind it. What am I talking about? The headline reads, "Boston College professor offers extra credit for students to go on dates." And I'm thinking, this can't be a good idea for a teacher trying to date the students. But that's not the case at all. A Boston College professor of philosophy, Professor Carrie Cronin, is known as the dating professor. No, she doesn't date the students, but she does try and get the kids in college to stop giving in to the hookup culture that is so popular on college campuses. She said, "We have a hypersexualized culture that doesn't help develop relationships. Instead, it just pushes hookups." And she learned that many of the kids in her classes have never even been on a date. So she has offered the kids extra credit if they will actually ask someone out on a date, not while they're drunk, they have to be completely sober, and they go out on a date and they have a date with someone without having sex. She gives them extra credit. I know it sounds crazy, but it's also a pretty good idea, right? What could be wrong with encouraging people to actually talk to each other and form a relationship before actually engaging in a physical relationship? So, Professor, I give you big props. We've reached out to Professor Carrie Cronin to see if she will join us on the show. Currently, no response, but if she does, you'll hear from her. Good for you, Professor. The other story that caught my attention was the story we talked about this morning on the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka program, heard on great radio stations around the country. It is the story of Sean Hannity being revealed as a, and I'm using air quotes here, client of Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's attorney. The guy has a real short client list. Here's the discussion Angie and I had about this topic this morning.
Oh, yeah. Angie Austin here, along with Mike Opelka and our buddy Trevino running the show, basically. He's like the brains behind the operation, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. I give all props to God and Trevino in that order.
Excellent. No, you have to put God first. No, excellent so for that.
God and Trevino in
okay,
that.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I'm sleepy, so I don't really listen to you.
What?
Okay, on to your buddy, Sean Hannity. You've known him for how long?
It's Carrie the 174, 23 years.
Okay, and you like him?
I do like him. Sean's been a guy who's always been there as a friend. Whenever I was in a tough scrape or suddenly a weird situation, he was one of the first people to reach out and go, "What can I do? How are you?"
Aww.
And that's a friend to me. That's a guy I call a friend.
Yeah, that's a guy I would call a friend too. You'll have to introduce us. I could use somebody like that who's thoughtful, caring, good on the air.
What are you saying? Thoughtful, caring, and good on the air.
Thoughtful, caring, good on the air. Yeah. Okay, let's move ahead. You have apparently your information about Sean Hannity that you feel sometimes is loyal to the president in a manner much like someone that would need a seeing eye dog. And so that we call that blind loyalty. But other than that, you really enjoy him on the air and you are, you know, his friend too, till the end. And he also was mentioned on cable television more than any other person yesterday.
Yesterday in the hearing that was being held with Michael Cohen's attorneys and Stormy Daniels' attorneys, and they were arguing over the raid on Michael Cohen's offices, home, and hotel room, and all the files grabbed. Cohen's attorneys were trying to make sure some of that information was going to be protected because he has other clients than the president. Not many. I think he had two other clients, which... that's not a lot of clients for a big law firm. And so the judge said, well, I need to know who the other clients are so we can decide whether or not we need to protect their information. And he said, well, it's kind of a secret, Your Honor. And he said, can I write it on a piece of paper and hand it to you? And the judge said, no, you have to say.
Wow.
So that's
not really fair. If indeed Sean Hannity's going to the guy for real estate advice or whatever it is. Is that fair that his name gets then thrown into this mix where the discussion is about things like Stormy Daniels and the Republican donor who may have given money to a woman in $1.6 million and she may have had an abortion at his prompting, which he denies. And then there's the president, you know, so separate, you know, people there, the president and this Republican donor. And then all of a sudden Sean Hannity's thrown in and he just goes to talk about maybe an apartment building or a tax write-off on some real estate. And then he gets lumped in there. I mean, shouldn't have been put on a piece of paper? I don't know, but that's really fair.
Well, there is a screening process that usually happens before this hearing would have been held, where a team of other attorneys would review all of that information for the judge and say, look, judge, this person's involved in this, and they don't need to be made public. And that apparently did not happen here. So when Mr. Cohen was forced to say the name out loud in court, a group of reporters gathered to cover this gasped, just like you, just like
right.
you. And after that moment, the name Sean Hannity hit the internet and it also hit cable news. Here's a little montage of what cable news did just before this happened, all before like 6 o'clock yesterday.
He stood up and he said the name Sean Hannity.
How did he say it? Was it like Sean Hannity?
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
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 Sean 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 Hannity.
Okay, I have a headache-ity. Oh, my goodness. That is enough.
All right, I'll stop. I could go. Would you like? I could keep playing it throughout the whole show, pretty much.
No, that is horrible.
But that's what happens when you are a competitor to Fox News, the leading cable news outlet, and one of your own is caught up in the swirl of this scandal around the president. But according to Sean Hannity, and there now I'm saying it, he's not anywhere near the controversy that has hit the president and that other gentleman. Two-thirds of the clients of Michael Cohen apparently have involvement with questionable women and had some questionable results in their relationships. But Sean Hannity, as you mentioned, claimed to have been involved in a real estate discussion with Michael Cohen. Let me try and shorten this, but this was from last night's Hannity show.
My discussions with Michael Cohen never rose to any level that I needed to tell anyone that I was asking him questions. And to be absolutely clear, they never involved any matter, any, sorry to disappoint so many, matter between me or third party, a third group at all. And my questions exclusively almost focused on real estate. I said many times on my radio show, I hate the stock market. I prefer real estate. Michael knows real estate.
And he said he never paid him. So he was a guy who talked to Michael Cohen, kind of like maybe the way you would talk to a friend or a lawyer's friend and have that discussion. I thought this was a public lynching of Sean Hannity that we really don't have all the information about. And if, in fact, it was just that, then shame on the news media for rushing to smear him. And there were some who called for his dismissal yesterday.
What? Okay, if indeed he went to go talk to this attorney about real estate questions, and then in court the judge says, no, you can't put it on a piece of paper, you have to just tell me. And then the media gleefully erupts in this, like, catty, snotty, jealous, I can't wait to get the guy and ask for him to be dismissed. How unfair is that? Like, I tell my kids all the time, life is not fair. And then they're like, oh, I know, life's not fair. This is ridiculously unfair. And it's not right.
It's absolutely not right. And the court of public opinion has now been put ahead of the real court system in America, at least on a couple of cable outlets. And I'm not happy the way CNN treated this, because they do try to say they're a little bit fair, and I don't feel they are. I didn't expect MSNBC to have any fairness. And certainly you expect the late night comics to go after this, because that's what late night comics do.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like the cable networks, the news end of the cable networks, was trying to compete with them. But what were you saying? Was it Trevor Noah jumped on this?
Yeah, Trevor Noah jumped on the Comey deal that, you know, he went after him and said, look, Comey, we know you sold out for the money. So I was surprised to see Trevor go after Comey, really.
Yeah, the Democrats and some of the liberals still have problems with James Comey and what he did to Hillary Clinton in their eyes. So that's still going to be out there. You have a little bipartisanship on the disappointment with James Comey. But Stephen Colbert, no shock that he went after the Sean Hannity story. And he had people actually cut up some statements from Sean Hannity and go after him. Well, he had Sean Hannity going after himself.
And this is a Fox News alert. President Trump's longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is my attorney, and I defended him right here on this program. Can anybody say conflict of interest? A huge conflict of interest Fox News has largely ignored. To put it another way, Sean Hannity should be fired, like yesterday. Oh. All right, also tonight, Hillary Clinton killed Kennedy.
So,
oh my.
Yeah, that was the Stephen Colbert response. And obviously, Stephen Colbert found significant rating success going after the president. And I don't anticipate he'll ever slow down on that one.
If you like what you heard with Angie and I, you can find us online and listen live via angieandmike.us, angieandmike.us. There's a link to the live feed, and you can hear it just about any time of day or night. The show just keeps replaying. So please check us out. And also on the podcast here on the Pure Opelka podcast, you know, we like to look back at history. on this day back in the day. This was the day in 1790 that the fledgling nation of the United States lost a founding father as Ben Franklin passed away at the age of 84. Benjamin Franklin, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, a founder, just a great inventor, a great American, and he lived to 84 in the 18th century. That's like living to 120 now. Also on this date in 1937, Porky's Duck Hunt premiered, a Looney Tunes cartoon, Porky's Duck Hunt. Why is this important? Well, it gave us Daffy Duck. We introduced the character of Daffy Duck. Also on this date in 1961, 1,500 Cuban exiles who were funded, supported by the United States, attempted an invasion of Cuba to kill Castro at the Bay of Pigs. It failed. It was a big embarrassment for us. And you should read up on that. Maybe we'll do a whole special on the Bay of Pigs. On this date in 1970, after a harrowing few days following the explosion on its way to the moon, Apollo 13 actually splashed down and the astronauts were safe. Kind of a remarkable day of history on this date back in the day, April 17th. How about a word of the day? A word of the day that we started talking about in the Pure Opelka group back in 2011. The word is kakistocracy. Kakistocracy. You heard former CIA director Brennan use it last week. He called the Trump administration a kakistocracy. What is a kakistocracy? It is government by the worst possible people. Government by the worst possible people. Why am I so familiar with this? Why was I talking about it in 2011? Initially, I wrote a story on The Blaze about a kakistocracy and pointed to the fact that the state of Massachusetts, which was facing massive budget shortfalls, had 2 days off for 2 different holidays in the state, but it only gave the presidents 1 day off. President's Day, 1 day off. 2 other battles in the state were given state holidays. So I dubbed Massachusetts a kakistocracy, government by the worst possible people. We then transferred it to Barack Obama. And now ex-CIA Chief Brennan is trying to slap it on the Trump organization. Well, sir, this audience has known about kakistocracies for quite some time. And that's your word of the day. Use it 3 times a day. And you'll be among the cool kids, or at least maybe a Jeopardy champion. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.